We're going to read one verse this morning, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. As our president would say, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Oh, he's not your president. I'm sorry. I forget. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Let's read together, shall we? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. I'm going to talk to you this morning about babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. Newborn babes. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless thy word now. Lord, dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Help us to block off everything going on in the world around us, outside of this room. Help us not to be distracted, anything going inside here, and help us not to be a distraction. Please bless, speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 1 Peter chapter number 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 now. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God likens believers, new believers, as babes, newborn babes. When you get saved, you're born again. You're adopted into God's family. You're born into God's family by the Spirit of God. Not because you go to church, because you're a church member. You know, I was giving a tract to a couple people at the gas station this past week, and one fellow took it, and one woman looked at it and said, well, I go to church. I said, church won't get you to heaven. You need to be born again, I said. So people are religious. They go to church, but they're not saved. They're not born again. You have to come to Jesus Christ as a child, the Bible says, and it's all through the scriptures, but Jesus pounded that very hard, that you have to come to him as a little child, as a newborn babe, as a matter of fact. Because when you're born again, you're just an infant. You're just born. You may not know anything about scriptures. You may not know anything about the Bible. A newborn baby is helpless on its own. It goes through 9 months, maybe not in New York State, but it goes through 9 months in the mother's womb until it's time to be delivered to start its life. Well, God likens us to as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. So he's talking to adult Christians, believers, meat eaters, I should say, but he says here, as newborn babes, not that we ought to become immature or childish. To the contrary, even though we've been saved for a while, we should, like as newborn babes, still desire the sincere milk of the Word of God to grow thereby. And so what we're going to talk about this morning are babes in Christ. Adults are meat eaters. That's true for physical adults, and that's true for spiritual adults. And that's why, unfortunately, meat eaters devour one another, as even Paul said. Peter's writing here to the adults that they're still to drink the milk of the Word of God, because it's the milk of the Word of God that gives you that sweet taste, the good nutrition, the needed vitamins, and reminds people how good God is. Too many times, meat eaters forget how loving, merciful, and kind they are supposed to be, because meat eaters are always either in a fight or prepared for a fight. They're sharpening their blades, their weapons, their swords. But while they're preparing for a fight, they must also remember where they came from, how merciful God has been to them, how forgiving He is, how loving He is, how compassionate He is, how long-suffering He is, and not forget it is the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. If you would come to Jesus. When a baby's in a womb, and by the way, it is a baby when it's in the womb, before it's born, it is fed through the mother's umbilical cord to survive. Without some kind of nutrition, the baby would die in the womb. It's no different when it goes out of the birth canal and is born. Even after the umbilical cord is cut, the best nutrition a baby can get that time is the mother's milk, the colostrum that flows right before the mother's milk starts. It feeds the baby. Without the colostrum, the baby does not get all the nutrients it would have received. Without the mother nursing the baby, I don't know, 6, 12 months or more, the baby will not receive the nutrients that God has for that baby. I mean, we had baby calves at our house and in my property, and I never realized, I never connected it, never dawned on me that even cows have colostrum before they have milk. And I went up to the farm in Scaticook, and the farmer up there gave me colostrum coming out of the milk, coming out of the cows for my calves. And I fed my calves colostrum. Well, that's what my wife did. She nursed the children when they were born. And that's what God does with the Word of God when we're born again. The most important part of the future health of that baby, if you read anything about health at all, about nutrition, it's the nutrients that God has for the baby when it's born through the colostrum in the mother's milk for as long as the mother can or wishes to. I don't suggest you going over 18, 24 months, but that's just a suggestion. You do whatever you want. Regardless, the first milk is the very most important for the growth and future health of that baby. Now, Peter writes, as newborn babes, we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Peter is the same man who wrote Scripture in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Same chapter, just a few verses before. There is a corruptible seed that brings forth corruption. There is an incorruptible seed that brings forth incorruption. God calls the incorruptible seed in verse 23 the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There are wicked and evil seeds that bring forth wicked and evil beings. You either have a King James Bible or you have a perversion. The perversions take away, they add, and they change the words of God to an incorruption. So you either have the King James Bible salvation by grace through faith, or you have a perversion that teaches a work salvation that you can never be born again from. Most babies do not start talking and saying their first words until they're about 1 or 2 years of age, some earlier, some later. Most babies do not start walking until about a year old, some earlier, some later. There are different growth spurts for different babies. When they first start running, saying a complete sentence, riding a bicycle, swimming, everybody starts at a different time. But a baby could talk probably intelligently, if they could talk when they were born intelligently, they would say, wow, look at all those big people talking and walking and running and driving. I will never be able to do that. But a baby cannot think cognitively to understand that growth. His growth happens gradually. It is so gradual that you cannot tell minute by minute or day by day how they're growing physically if you're with them every day. If you only get to see them once a month or once a year, then yeah, you can say, wow, what a difference in the growth spurt. Just like a baby cannot comprehend and understand how adults use to be babies and have gradually grown up as adults to be able to physically do things that babies cannot, the same way babes in Christ, newborn babes, cannot completely understand that the Holy Spirit of God in them can and will change them and mature them to do great things for God in the future if they're willing and if they surrender and if they obey the Word of God for their nutritional diet and for their spiritual manna to grow thereby. Some of you people in this room just got saved recently, or you just got baptized. You may look at some other folks who have been saved for 5 or 10 or 30 years and say to yourself, I could never do what he or she does, or I could never be like him or her. Well, that's what those same folks probably thought 10 or 20 years ago too. You do not understand the power of God yet. You do not understand the deep things of God yet. You will need to grow some spiritual teeth so that you can spiritually chew on some spiritual meat that babes in Christ cannot chew on. Not yet. So don't worry about it. Don't fret. You concentrate on reading the Bible, coming to church, winning souls. In most country or suburban churches, when folks get saved and baptized, they're taught Bible truths and Bible doctrines to give them the foundation that they need to live a separated Christian life that's pleasing to God. In welfare cities like Troy, the Troilet, after people get saved and baptized, we have to teach them not to be lazy, teach them not to steal, teach them not to lie, teach them not to suck off the government for their sustenance, and to teach them that they can work for themselves. It's a whole different mentality with a welfare city mentality than a country mentality. The truth is, babes in Christ are new creatures wherever they're at, in the city or in the country. But the truth of the matter is that the welfare mentality is so steeped in the minds of so many welfare recipients, they need to be taught from the Word of God what God says about work and responsibility. Most folks in the country or suburban areas usually are responsible if they own their own homes and already have jobs. Being responsible and having a job usually leads to someone saving money, buying a house to live in. Not always, but usually. People in the country or the suburbs usually buy an affordable car to get around in because they live so far away from so many people and places. People in a welfare city almost have no real need of a car because they can catch a ride from someone who's got a car, or can catch a ride on a bus that's subsidized by taxpayers. They can call a taxi the first of the month when their welfare check comes in. Usually the folks that own a car tend to be more responsible, having a job, paying their own bills, and not on government assistance. With the advent of television, the internet, now that filth and that wickedness has gone into the country now. And so that's why now you have drug addicts and dope heads and lazy, pot-smoking, excuse-laden bums all over the country, regardless what city or the country they're in. Most of the children today are a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. They demand things from their parents and their government because the government schools have them brainwashed. That's why this kind of preaching is shocking to city folks and welfare recipients. As soon as they walk in, they hear this kind of thing. It's a shock to the system. They're having a heart attack in the pews. They're having a stroke while they're listening to this. That guy, he's mean. This is hate speech. No, this is just old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist preaching that's been going on for 2,000 years. No different. But for people that are irresponsible, it's a shock to their system. I'm talking about babes in Christ. I've heard so many people tell me, brother, I like your preaching, but I ain't going to Troy, New York for church. Yeah, you know why? Because their cars are too nice to get scratched or keyed. They don't want to park on a street. They want a parking lot with a nice fancy building. So we get slammed by people living in the Troilet, getting upset with preaching the truth and righteousness. We're not getting any help by good old country folks because their cold hearts keep them in their dead backslidden churches where there's no King James Bible preaching. I'm just trying to help people grow up and mature and be responsible to stop blaming someone or everyone for any of their problems or difficulties. Growing up is a sign of maturity. Not growing up and refusing to grow up is a sign of immaturity. I understand if you're a baby when you're 3 months old, 6 months old, or 12 months old. But when you're still a baby at 3 years old or 5 years old or 30 years old, there's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. That growth is retarded. You can limit your spiritual growth. Just stop reading your King James Bible. Stop praying. Stop coming to the church. Stop going to an old-fashioned Baptist church. Stop soul winning. That'll do it. That'll stunt your growth. You'll backslide, rebel against God, and fight God. The cities today are not what the cities used to be 60 or 70 years ago when you felt safe walking down the street at night. Just ask your parents, your grandparents, how New York City was. We've all heard stories. It was so busy and so safe, you could walk outside the street no matter what time it was. You go ahead and walk West Philly by yourself, 2 o'clock in the morning. All right. Those days are long gone, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the children, isn't it? Isn't it? That's the mantra that we hear. It's all about the children. I'm going to read a definition, two definitions for you. Here's the definition. The act of miscarrying or producing young before the natural time or before the fetus is perfectly formed. You know what the word for that definition is? Abortion. The act of miscarrying or producing young before the natural time or before the fetus is perfectly formed. Here's another definition, and you try to guess what the word is. The intentional killing of an infant. Infanticide is correct. Abortion's definition is the act of miscarrying or producing young before the natural time or before the fetus is perfectly formed. Infanticide, side meaning to kill, Latin word, infant. The intentional killing of an infant. So what we have today, if we have a murderous regime who are teaching people to kill their own. We can't talk about infanticide now because, you know, people have had an abortion and that would hurt them. And we have had people in our church who have had abortions, but they've gotten saved, they've gotten right with God, and they're living for God. We've had people in our church that had abortions but hate this kind of preaching and never come back. Now, the only difference is somebody received the mercy of God and the other person didn't. The only difference is somebody humbled themselves before a holy God and the other person didn't. Are we now supposed to limit our preaching and not offend anybody? So let's not preach about murder or rape or stealing or lying or adultery or fornication. Let's not preach against the sodomites, the perverts, the homosexuals. What else do we talk about? Oh, we can't talk about laziness because, you know, we live in Troy. We have a church in Troy. We can't talk about, you know, envy and jealousy or cold hearts or seared consciences or stealing from the IRS. We can't preach about stealing from your boss or your company. Why? Because somebody might be offended or hurt. Should we not preach against stealing from the taxpayers or preach against heresy or perversions or sin or disobedience or rebellion? I mean, where should we pick and choose at? I mean, or should we hand out cards and say, which area in your life should I not preach on? Just hand them out. Hand them 3x5 cards. And make a list. Say, preacher, please don't preach on A, B, and C, please. It's just too bothersome for me. It is wicked and evil when anyone kills their baby. The doctor, the woman, and everyone who participates in the killing of an unborn child in the womb. It is murder. However, it is even worse for those who profess to be a child of God, who claim to be born again, and then go ahead and kill their unborn child. Those individuals are evil and wicked to purposefully cover up their sin because of their sin, their pride, their love of money. One day they're going to face God at the judgment, and they're going to give an account, and that is why their conscience bothers them so much. That is why they are so evil and wicked and hate others who preach against it. Instead of supporting this kind of preaching that would save other babies' lives, they hate this kind of preaching because their consciences are seared and their hearts are cold and their lives and their words and their actions show it. They're more in love with themselves and their money than they are with God and people. Once a person crosses the line and purposefully kills another person, There is no going back on that other side of that line. That is why so many people end up in psychiatric facilities. That is why so many people take drugs and alcohol, commit suicide, and go on killing sprees. What people want to do is check their background, check their history of they've been involved in killing babies or not. Once a person's conscience is seared like that, it will only be by the grace of God Almighty, the mercy of God Almighty, that will allow you to live a godly and spiritual life. If that happens, those people will walk humbly on eggshells for the rest of their lives. If that does not happen, those people with seared consciences will be out of control, yelling uncontrollably. Just look at the people who hate the president. Just look at the people who hate Bible preaching. They're uncontrollable. They're screaming at the top of their lungs. Find out how many times they've had an abortion. Their consciences are seared. They've gone past the line and defied God. You know, it's different when you kill the enemy. But when you kill your own, there's no way a person can live like that and not suffer the consequences of it. When you kill an innocent person in cold blood, premeditated, you will always have the proclivity to be able to do it again. As I said, it's only by the grace and mercy of Almighty God that you can receive forgiveness of God. But that only comes through humbling yourself before the Creator of all life and pleading and begging for His mercy. And I promise you, if you do that, you will walk humbly after that. You see those people have killed their babies and go out drinking their booze and dancing at parties and getting undressed in public, rebelling against God? That's a very good indication that they've not humbled themselves, ladies and gentlemen. They're as wicked as they come. How about having a little Bible study this morning? Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 2, please. Say, what's wrong with New York? Well, it's God's people's fault. We start preaching this kind of stuff. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. This is a Bible study this morning. Here's what God says. Verse number 12. You know the story. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the what? The babe. Now the word B-A-B-Y is not in the Bible, but the word babe, B-A-B-E, that's not your girlfriend or your wife, it's a baby, okay? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. So this baby is out of the womb. God calls it a baby, a babe, okay? All right, take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Luke chapter number 1, verse number 41. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her what? So God calls it a baby or a babe after it's born, wrapped in swaddling clothes. God calls it a babe in the womb. It ain't no different. A babe in the womb and a babe after it's born. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to, Luke chapter number 18. Since we're here, Luke chapter number 18. Just a little Bible study this morning, what God says. Luke chapter number 18. Verse number 15. And they brought unto him also what? Infants. That he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. These are religious people now following Jesus. They can't stand children because they make too much noise. It's too much of a mess, you know. That's why people don't have children anymore. It takes a lot of work. But notice, they brought infants to him. So what's that big deal about, Pastor? Well, think about turning to Job chapter number 3, please. Job 3. We're talking about infants. Now, we talked about babe, a babe outside in swaddling clothes and a babe inside the womb. Well, they brought infants to Jesus also. Look what Job chapter 3 says here. Job chapter number 3. Job chapter 3. Verse 16, or as in hidden untimely birth, I had not been, watch this now, as infants which never saw light. So God calls an infant outside the womb that they brought to Jesus, and God calls an infant inside the womb that never was delivered alive, that never saw light. So God calls a baby after it's born, and God calls it a baby before it's born. God calls it an infant after it's born. God calls it an infant before it's born. Take your Bible, please turn with me to, boy, there's just so much of this next one here. Let's go to Genesis 25. And this one, child, I mean, there's at least, I don't know, I'm guessing off the top of my head, 20, 25 references in the Bible about a woman with child. That's what it says, right? With child. Now, when you think about a child, you think about, you know, a boy or girl who's like 6 months, 12 months, one, two, 3 years, that's a child. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's a child. But in Genesis chapter number 25, here we have twins. Genesis 25, verse number 19, these are the generations. Hold on a second. Yes, 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now watch this. And the children struggle together within her. That's interesting. Now, it does repeatedly all through Scripture, woman with child, with child, with child, with child, with child. And in this verse, God specifically said that the children in her womb were struggling. So God calls a child when it's outside the womb, and God calls it a child when it's inside the womb. Doesn't matter what New York State says. It doesn't matter what the legislature says. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you think. It's a baby in or out of the womb. It's an infant in or out of the womb. It's a child in or out of the room. Now, I don't know your life personally, so I'm just preaching and teaching. I'm not angry at you if you've had an abortion or you had some dealings in an abortion. I just suggest to you that you get right with God. I suggest if you're not saved that you get saved, because only the mercy of God will forgive you, ladies and gentlemen. And God will. Just like I think it was John Newton, the slave owner, killed many of his slaves from Africa to the New World on a ship, got saved because he remembered his mother's prayers. He thought he was going to die. He promised God, if you get me alive out of here, I promise I'll live the rest of my life for you. He never thought he was going to live, but he did. And that's the man who wrote Amazing Grace. So God's amazing grace is available for everybody if they humble themselves, if they're willing to confess before a holy God how wicked they've been. But if not, God's got your number, and you're not going to be able to live with yourself and your conscience. You're going to be a caged animal, a wild animal, causing mayhem, chaos, unruly. You're going to get in trouble with people in the law, and nobody's going to be able to control you because your mind is gone. That's why did you ever look at these women 30, 40, 50 years old and say, what in the world's wrong with them? Ask them if they've ever had an abortion or not. And ask them if they've ever been saved or not. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. You come visit with me in the psychiatric wards. Yeah. You mark this out. I wonder how many of the suicides are done because somebody killed somebody else. And they can't live with it for the rest of their life. Mark this down. Listen to me good. When they say all these people that go on killing sprees and killing people, I want to see their history, what's going on in their life with an abortion or two. They're playing video games as if life is not precious. My Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward in Psalm 127, verse number 3. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings, chapter number 8. 2 Kings, chapter number 8. Oh, I just thought of a verse. I didn't write it down, but I'll get it for tonight. 2 Kings, chapter number 8. Verse number 7, Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick, and it was told him, saying, the man of God has come hither. The king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die. And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepest, my lord? And he said, he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with child. Their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children, rip up their women with child. And Hazael said, but what is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. And in 2 Kings 15, 16, the prophecy was fulfilled. All the women therein that were with child, he ripped up. It says in 2 Kings 17, 31, they burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So what's America done? Why do we have problems on the border, ladies and gentlemen? Why don't we have enough people doing the job that we need immigrants, even illegal immigrants? Because people want to make money. I'll tell you why. Because when you butcher 60 million babies in the last 30, 40, or 50 years, and you have a vacuum of people in America that should have been here, people who love their money, they don't care where they come from. They want to have their products produced and make some money. Most of the curse we have in America is because we've been killing our own. Most of the curse we have in America is God's people rebelled against God. God said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? What a horrible thought, 2,500, 3,000 years ago. He says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. What an awful, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The most vulnerable, weakest person on planet Earth. A child in a womb that now the government is promoting for us to kill and has been promoting. We're in a downward spiral. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, America is doomed. You could better get that through your thick skull. It is over. It's just... the timeline, it has to be written, that's all. Thank God for a little reprieve. Thank God for a little breathing space. But you can't murder 30, 40, 50, 60 million babies and think God doesn't see it. If the blood of Abel's crying out of the ground because Cain killed him, you better mark it down that the blood of 40, 50, 60 million babies are still crying out today. And you may not hear it, but God hears it every single day. And instead of getting mad, why don't you get right with God? But they hate this kind of preaching because they refuse to humble themselves before God and get right with God. You're going to meet God one day. You're going to meet God who wrote this book, gave you life, and gave the life of the baby in the womb. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ, your Savior? God says, lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children. That's what God says. Shall the women eat their fruit and children of a span long? Why do we have so much cannibalism going on today, Pastor? Just read the Bible. It's not a shock. I mean, they're taking the body parts, putting it in a blender, and the women are using it for makeup. Do you hear what I just said? I'm not making this stuff up. Because there's so many nutrients and vitamins in a baby's pulp. Can you believe this? Can you believe how sick we are? They grind it all up and they sell it to you. And you paint your face like Jezebel. With the leftover of a body of a baby that's been butchered in the womb. You can run away from this kind of preaching, but you ain't running away from the judgment of God Almighty when you stand before him. You're going to stand there. I suggest you get right with God before you meet him. In Luke chapter number 13, I never saw this until I was doing this Bible study this morning, to be honest with you. I've read this verse over. I preached this verse. Jesus looking out over Jerusalem. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together, thy children, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. The parents would not. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together and ye would not? How dare you as a parent not bring your child to church? How dare you as a parent not teach your children about Jesus Christ? How dare you as a parent not tell them about the salvation that God has? How dare you as a parent just snuff out the life of a child inside of you? You're going to meet God Almighty who made you and gave you breath. I remember Ronald Reagan said the statement, he said, it seems to me the only people for abortion, the people have already been born. Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever notice that? They've already been born. They're crazy lunatics, man. They're mad. They're insane. They've lost their minds because they know they've killed somebody and they don't want somebody to remind them through this kind of preaching. And that's why they want this outlawed as hate speech. Are you saved this morning? Are you a child of God this morning? You care about life this morning? Well, America is reaping exactly what she sowed, ladies and gentlemen. He travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. God likens sin to exactly what happens with birth and conception. Yeah, ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. How about that? Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. How about that? What's wrong with America, preacher? Yeah, you spit in God's face and you rebel against the word of God? God's gonna curse you, ladies and gentlemen, until the day you meet him. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The women said to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. He didn't lift up his mother Mary. He didn't glorify Mary. He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's what Jesus said. So the governor signs a bill on Friday that extends protection against the transgenders in New York, as well as banning conversion therapy on children because they care about the children. You know, they act like, and they say that they care about the children. It's against the law now to have conversion therapy on children who think that they're a different sex than what they were born with. And it's against the law to teach them otherwise. In a therapeutic session. And you better mark this down. It's just one step. It's just one step away from preaching about it and teaching about it. What's the difference between outlawing that kind of therapy and telling somebody that you're a child of hell and you need to be born again? And they're going to pass a law. You should be good. They're going to pass a law because they're going to say, well, on the principle, we just passed this law because we don't want to bother children. We don't want to hurt their feelings because you mean bullies out there that are against homosexuals and transgender people. You better read what Jesus said about what you do to a child. He said you ought to take a millstone and hang it around his neck and throw him in the sea. If you don't want to do that, then hang them and shoot them and electrify them and stone them to death while they're hanging on the rope. But Jesus said, put a millstone around their neck and throw them in the sea. You get these child perverts, man, they're wicked and they're evil. But I'm telling you, we're just one step away against passing a law that's going to be hate speech if you preach about it. Or stop a child. So you can't tell a child, no. You're not a different sex than you were born. God made you a male. You're still a male. Do you realize that your hormones, your DNA, still has the birth sex that you were born with? I don't care what you do with the rest of your body. I don't care what you add, what you cut up, what you make take away, what you paint it on, what your hair grows like. It doesn't matter. Your DNA, your chromosomes still say, I don't care. After all those operations, you're still a boy if you're born a boy. You're still a girl if you're born a girl. But that tells you how far away and depraved the people in New York State are, away from God. So now we can kill babies by law up until the time they're born in New York State. And you can support it now with taxpayer money. Planned Parenthood. Both these bills were passed last week after being blocked for several years by Republicans in the Senate. I'm just reading the news article. Democrats took control of the chamber in November, and the two bills were among the first passed. Governor Cuomo said, this, my friends, is New York at its best. That's what he said. The governor of New York State. Sounds like Harry to me, who looked for all the children 2 years and under to kill them. Sounds like King Herod to me, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the days, and those are the times and days that you and I are living in, the state that you and I are living in. Take your Bible, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, starting verse number 15. You better thank God for God's mercy. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, small g gods, and serve them like your booze, like your drugs, like your videos and your music, and everything that's anti-Christian. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, notice these two words, choose life. You notice how they frame the arguments? It's always anti-choice, like we're anti-choice, you know? They never say that we're pro-life. They just say we're anti-choice. Well, I beg to differ with you, because they're against choice when it comes to schools. They're against choice when it comes to freedom of speech. They're against choice. They just want to, they're on a killing spree, a mania about killing. It's a bloodthirsty mentality. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Then I set before you life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I say choose Jesus this morning. I say choose life this morning. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. It's up to you. God gives you the choice to choose. But he says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thy seed. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. If I were you, I'd choose Jesus this morning. If I were you, I'd choose salvation this morning. If I were you, I'd choose the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for mercy to be merciful unto your soul. If I were you, I'd ask God to give you repentance and change your mind about how wicked and evil you've been living. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, there's not a one of us in this room that's not a sinner. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of us have sinned worse than others. Some of us have done some dastardly, evil, wicked things. But thankful that the mercy of God was available when we heard the gospel story, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that his hands are outstretched to receive us, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's not a one of us that deserve heaven. There's not a one of us that deserve eternal life. We all deserve to end up in hell and burn in the lake of fire for all eternity. I pray, dear God, this morning, those that are here this morning, those who are listening to my voice, I pray that they realize that the only hope that they have for a clear conscience is coming clean with thee. I hope that somebody realizes that all those drugs and the pills and shooting up their veins and snorting their cocaine, gambling, and whatever they're trying to fill up that void in their hearts, because their conscience bothers them so much they don't want to think about it. I pray that this morning, today, they would finally yield and surrender to thee. I pray, dear God, they would humble themselves and acknowledge their sin. I pray, dear God, that they would confess to thee. They don't have to confess to anybody else, but to thee. Dear God, I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that they'll get saved this morning. I pray if anybody in this room is saved, but they've not been baptized in a Baptist church, I pray they'll come forward and get baptized this morning. Choose this day. The water's ready. And I pray, dear God, and I've talked about infanticide this morning, and I've talked about some other things, but I may have not talked about something that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to somebody's heart about, something about that they're thinking about. Something that you brought across their mind, something in the past, something horrible, something wicked, something evil. And they're trying to run from their memory banks. They're trying to douse it with liquor and drugs to forget it. But they can't forget it. I pray that today they'll take care of it. Come to thee, come clean, completely yield to thee. Not some, but completely. Not most, but completely. Dear God, please bless these dear folks. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.